Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. It's a great day to be a boxing fan. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, ended up being ranked number 13 in 1984 at junior welterweight, and I'm an award-winning writer, so supposedly I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? I've always found out the average fan probably knows a little bit more, so straight up, I will give you this opportunity with the toll-free phone line at the top of each hour. We do 2 hours today. Of course, this is the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, of course. Twitch.tv is dead again. It's dead again. What can I say? The Twitch thing is like the biggest video nightmare I've ever encountered in my life, and I've been doing TV off and on for like 35, 40 years. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My guests will include, of course, the new lightweight champion of the world. We'll hear from George Kambosos, of course, turning back Teofimo Lopez. The takeover, it's over. Straight up, Teofimo. We'll hear from Teofimo, the bad sport. Larry Merchant will be here. Socrates Palmer will be here. Guess what? We'll also spend some time with Mike Tyson in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Wait. And I'm not done. We'll go across the pond and bring in the UK's ambassador of goodwill. I'm talking about Mr. Kenny Rainford. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
The 59th annual WBC convention just took place in Mexico City. I wasn't there because my passport bounced. Basically, it bounced. I tried all kinds of slick ways to get a passport at the last minute. I said somebody was dying in Mexico. I mean, I tried to play my political clout because I used to guard Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein is the senator. She's like 85 years old, the oldest senator in the United States. But she's a senator from San Francisco. So I used to, when I was a San Francisco policeman, I used to guard her house out there in the Presidio. I used to park in front of her house like for 8 hours at a time, 8 to 10 hours at a time, and just guard her house. And her husband, Richard Blum, Mr. Blum was nice. Mrs. Feinstein wasn't very nice to us. But the bottom line is, I called her office and said, listen, I used to guard you, blah, blah, blah. Can you get me a passport? And not even she could get me a passport. So the bottom line is, I didn't go to the WBC convention. Mauricio was probably going to slap me next time he sees me. But the bottom line is, next year we'll be in Kazakhstan. So I expect to be going to Kazakhstan in 2022. Now, last night, wow, what can I say? Emanating from the Hulu Theater, the Felt Forum. Call it what you want. It's the place next to the big garden, Madison Square Garden. It's that little arena called the Felt Forum originally. But the bottom line is, they used to show, when the arena was sold out, the big arena was sold out, they would show pay-per-view and closed-circuit stuff in that little small arena, whether it was boxing, whether it was wrestling, regardless. But the bottom line is, last night, it was the venue, of course, for the World Lightweight Championship, the undefeated lightweight champion coming in 16-0, Teofimo Lopez. These people, of course, from Honduras now to Brooklyn, New York, considered one of the best fighters pound for pound in the world. I mean, the way he took apart, the fact, and when you look at all the stuff that he's done as a professional in 16 fights, you say to yourself, wow, you know, this guy's really, really on a roll. But he beat Vasyl Lomachenko. That was like whoa, that wasn't supposed to happen. Lomachenko was probably supposed to win that fight, even though I said Lopez would win. I picked the upset this one, but the bottom line was, I really didn't think that Lopez had it. that night. But he had it. He brought it. He did well at 135 pounds. He talked about making 135 pounds, said it was, you know, unbearable for him back then. But the bottom line was, you are the lightweight champion. Don't bitch and moan if you win the title at 135. I won the title at 139 in the Golden Gloves. You think I went and told him, hey, look, I'm having problems making 139. Can you move it up for me or something like that? No, no, no. You got to do what you got to do. And you're the defending champion. I mean, first time defending champion. Of course, there were six or seven title fight postponements in this fight. Of course, it was originally picked up by another promoter, and then they sort of went bankrupt. And then Barry Hearn picked it up, Matchroom Boxing, of course, put it on the Zone. And straight up, it was a surprise from the start. Bang. The opening bell rings, and guess what? Before you know it, Teofimo Lopez, excuse me, is on his butt. And he's on his butt pretty hard. Somebody said, oh, it was a flash knockdown. No, no, it wasn't a flash knockdown. He got up and he was rolled, okay? So bottom line was, you know, he is okay for a couple of rounds. I mean, it isn't like a one-sided fight. And then Kambosos begins to take over in those middle rounds, okay? And he did take over. Of course, you know, down the stretch, after being decked in the first round, Teofimo Lopez did come back in round number 10 and decked Kambosos, but Kambosos came back and won rounds 11 and 12. Clearly, I had it 115-112. Let's hear the post-fight score.
The questions people had were not could you win, but what round were you going to get knocked out in? How did you pull off this upset victory?
Did I change your week? Have I changed my whole career? Never. I believed in myself, I backed myself, and I said it. Time after time, you might not believe me, but I believe in myself. And look at me now, I got all the jewels. I'm not the king. You got your four kings. I'm the emperor because I come to every other country and I take them out one by one. Listen, all respect to him. All respect to him. Thank you, New York City, Madison Square Garden. I love you all.
Walk me through the first round, because you promised coming in that you were going to fight fire with fire. And it wasn't Lopez that knocked you down first. It was you knocking down Lopez.
Look, Customada said a great saying when Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier. An unbelievable puncher in Joe Frazier. And Muhammad Ali ran Customada and said, what do I do? Because you hit him with the best right hand you've ever thrown in your life in the first round, and you changed the fight. And that's what I did. I had that in my head, my mentality. I said, I'm going to hit this guy clean. I'm going to hit him hard, and I'm going to put him down. And the fight changed after that.
The overhand right, as you said, that was there for you most of this night. Was there something that you saw on film from Teofimo that showed you he was open to that shot?
Man, my trainers, Mick Avio, Mick, we worked unbelievable in this camp. You know, it was a long, hard camp. It was never my fault. I wanted to fight ASAP. But you know what? Every day I got better and better and better and better. And I learned more and more. And I didn't take my foot off the pedal. Here we are. If you don't believe in yourself, you won't get this far. For anyone out there, back yourself. Believe in yourself, and you can do it too. All respect to Teofimo. He's a great kid. The build-up was the build-up. We're both competitive young guys. But it was my night, and it's going to be my night for a very long time. I'm the emperor.
In those middle rounds, you seemed to take control. And then in the 10th round, you got caught. What happened on that punch, and what was going through your mind over the last minute plus of that round?
You know, listen, I was trying to entertain the fans too much. I'm an unbelievable boxer. They can't believe how good I box. You know, my defense, my movement. Too sharp, too fast, too strong. My conditioning, my stamina, unbelievable. But I tried to entertain the crowd a little bit too much. Got excited a little bit too much. I got caught. But you know what? What a warrior. Got back up against all odds and still finished the fight and won the next round. Listen, this is for my kids. But my grandfather, George Kambosos, passed away 2 months ago. My family, my grandfather, I know he's in the ring with me right now. I mean, this he said it. And my whole family, my family that's here, for everyone, you know, my father.
When you got George, when you got back into the corner after that 10th round, how hurt were you, and what was your mindset going into the last two?
I wasn't hurt. I looked at my team, my coach, I said, nothing. Let's go hard. The next two rounds, I'm going to punish this kid. And I won the next two rounds. No problem. That's the kind of fighter I'm, a warrior. But listen, all respect to him. He's a great champion. He beat the great Vasily Lomachenko. But I'm the better fighter, and I told you, I'll be better every step of the way.
Is this, in your mind, the biggest win in Australian boxing history?
Look at me. I'm the greatest fighter in Australian history, and that's no disrespect. I've got all the belts.
Hey, listen. Fighter in history.
Listen, you're a true champ. Forget the rest.
Yo.
You got, hey, hell of a fighter, but I won tonight, man. Everybody know that. The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says, yo. I won tonight. At the end of the day, I've been here. I've done that. I want to thank God. I want to thank everybody that came out tonight. Look, I ain't no sore loser. I take my wins like I take my losses. At the end of the day, man, I'm a true champion. I came out here. I did what I had to do. And I went out there and I did my best. Yo, I don't care what anybody says, man. I am as real as they come. And watch, this is the takeover, man. We don't stop. We keep coming. Yo, at the end of the day, man, I love you all. I won this fight.
Teofimo, you believe coming in that you were going to be able to end this fight early. You get knocked down in the first round. What was your mindset going back to the corner?
It's good. Good shot. All right. Time to wake up. Time to do the thing what I got to do. After that, man, it is what it is. It's boxing. But you know what, man? I know what it is. I know how these people work. Referee knew I won tonight. Everybody knew I won tonight. And I'm just thankful.
Did you believe this was a close fight going into those last two rounds?
No, I don't. I don't believe it was a close fight at all. I believe that at the end of it all, I scored 11-2. Well, 10-2.
You believed you won 10 of the 12 rounds?
Yes, I did.
George?
Listen, you got to move up, bro, because you're a bit delusional, brother. All right? Listen, I got the belts. I won the fight. I won it clean and clear. Look at your face. But you know what? I give you respect. I came here. I gave you the respect in the ring, and I won the fight. I got the belts. Take it like a champ. Move on. We do it again in Australia. 80,000 people, me and you, brother. What a war we'll have.
Kicked his ass in his own hometown in front of his own people, silenced everybody in the crowd from the MSG and Brooklyn, all that kind of good stuff. Of course, all the Latinos there, and they were making their noise at the beginning of the fight, but they sort of booed there at the end when Teofimo said, you know I won. No. I had a 115-112, and that was a real easy score for me to come up with. I could have probably kicked 115-111, but 115-112, I think the scores were 115-112, 115-111, and one judge had it for Lopez, 113-112. So shame on him having to, how he ended up seeing a fight that was so, I don't put this, easy to score. Boxing is not rocket science. This is not tough. It's not difficult. You don't have to get a piece of paper and go crazy. It's like, who won the rounds, right? Well, you look down at your piece of paper. After 12 rounds, you realize that George Kambosos won a whole lot more rounds than Teofimo Lopez did. In fact, I gave Lopez 3 rounds, one being 10-8. Bottom line is, that's how he came up with that score. So I wish him the very best of luck in his future, but guess what? George Kambosos is probably going to beat him time and time again because he says he can't make 135 pounds. They punished him staying at 135 pounds. I mean, the bottom line is, this is your job, man. If you can't go out and get a dietitian to make 135 pounds, shame on you. At the end of the day, there's a new lightweight champion in town. His name is George Kambosos. More power to the people down under from Australia. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA to an extent. Of course, we'll talk about the UFC in hour number two briefly. The WBC convention. Check out all the news on the WBC convention at WBCBoxing.com, the interactive WBC website. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. After the break, we'll bring in boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer.
With a great game plan, you can't take those shots to the temple like that if you're Teofimo. Throughout the entire night, Kambosos is circling around, fighting in the middle of the ring. Teofimo Lopez coming with the aggression, coming back, both of them going left and right with the same punches.
And then at round 10,
you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, coming back there with a clip from the George Kambosos fight last night, of course, round number 10. Wow, Kambosos got dropped, but he came back and won the next two rounds. You can't do that too often in a boxing match, but he did it last night. Of course, now we take it to the East Coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself. I'm talking about Mr. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer Jr. And, sir, 115-112 was all I had it. How did you have it?
I had just about the same. I would say 7-5 for George Kambosos. And this morning I had some omelets, you know, for that egg on my face because I was certainly in the room, being very dismissive about Kambosos as a real threat. And I was dead wrong. I mean, George Kambosos, fought the fight of his life, beat the champ in every form. You know, he was the showman. He was bolo punching Lopez. He was frustrating him. He had an educated jab. He was not, in awe of the moment at all. And he really took it. He took the title from him, and it was a really, really good night for boxing. And that's why we watch, you know. I mean, we can analyze this, analyze that, and look ahead to, oh, you know, Lopez and Garcia, Lopez and Tank. That's down the drain right now, at least for the moment. You know, George Kambosos is the king of the lightweight division, and at 13-1 odds, that's, you know, I hope somebody was smarter than me and bet the underdog.
You know, and bottom line was, you know, here's why I sort of started leaning towards away from Mr. Lopez in the last couple of weeks. And I sort of felt it because of the fact that he had to make weight so many different times. They canceled this fight six times, three or four times. It was real close to fight time. In other words, he's coming down in weight. So I'm saying to myself, you know, this is like he's had to have five or six camps in a row. You know what I'm saying? And now the other guy's got nothing to lose. He's a challenger. He's coming in. He's got a different attitude. Teofimo had weight woes. We knew that 135 pounds was not easy for him. Although I think if you got a dietitian, it'd be easy for him because he's not bigger than Kambosos. He's not taller than Kambosos, although heavier in the muscle department. But the bottom line was, you know, Tio screamed. We've got some other clips about that, screaming about not being able to make 135 pounds, coming up with a whole lot of excuses. I got the impression he was, he sounded like a little spoiled brat last night when it was over with.
Absolutely. You know, he certainly did. You know, I mean, we've seen fighters. He's not the first, and he won't be the last of guys in the ring, you know, thinking, hey, you know, they got the wrong end of a decision. But, his face, I mean, his face was, you know, told the story. I mean, what? It was a pretty clean fight. You know, there wasn't any headbutts, not much inside fighting. I mean, that's leather, man.
There was one round, though, when Lopez went back to the round, and he had definitely gotten beaten in that round. I said to myself, I wrote it down, 10-9 Kambosos. And the father says to him, you won that round, too. Wait. Two, meaning T-O-O, like also. There weren't too many alsos for me with him. What was the father doing? Is this another example of a father shouldn't be in a corner?
You know, that's the easy thing to say. But we can't dismiss the fact that working with his dad got him to where he was. I mean, his father was the guy in the corner against Lomachenko, and something, I mean, I'm not in their camp, you know, and I don't have much insight with them, you know, but you could tell something wasn't right, you know, with Lopez. And I don't want to take away from Kambosos, you know. A few months back, he had said some things on social media that he was going through depression and that he even had thoughts of suicide. And it's been documented, the drama with his mother.
He's got thoughts of suicide today, maybe, too.
You know what? I mean, we say it flippantly, but if he was saying the truth, then absolutely. I mean, how can you sleep last night? You know, knowing that everything that you had was taken away from you in about an hour.
It wasn't taken. See, here's what's up. It wasn't really taken away from him. He sort of gave it up. There's a difference. It wasn't taken away from him. He gave it up. He lost that fight. He was clear about it. And when he went on and bragged about, boasted about, you know, I won this fight. I mean, his eye was hanging open. He was lucky it wasn't, that cut didn't take place a little earlier, or the fight probably might have been stopped. That cut was a bad, bad cut. I mean, he had a horrible, horrible evening. And I think he should be happy he came out on top. I mean, as far as vertically is concerned, standing up, because at the end of the night, he was a beaten guy, a decisively beaten guy. Now, we've got a guy in the new champion, Kambosos, that says he's going to Las Vegas to take on Devin Haney. Right on! And Oscar De La Hoya shooting texted him last night saying, hey, let's talk Ryan Garcia. But he says he wants Devin Haney. This kid's got chutzpah. I love it. Not chutzpah, real guts. He's going after Haney.
The world is his oyster, man. I mean, he now is the shot caller. I mean, the one thing you know about Kambosos, he can take those titles and get an easy defense back home in Australia and probably do a big live gate you know. And Teofimo Lopez, who is very, you know, he is not shy. He was very, you know, he's a blowhard. His father too. There was no rematch clause. Teofimo Lopez should have humbled himself. That's the biggest problem is, it seems that he's the boss in everything. And someone should have tapped him in the shoulder. There was no manager. This is when you get it, when you have a real good manager and whispers in his ear, shut up. Cambosa said, hey man, let's do it. 80,000 people back at home. He should have been kissing Cambosa's fanny after that fight and hold his feet to the fire and say, sure, let's do it. Cause that's the only way he's going to get his get back. You know, he has to humble himself, and he received some humble pie last night. And, you know, he, instead of giving Cambosa's credit, he comes off as being a big baby, whining, like you said, you know, saying that he got robbed. And Cambosis, the world is his oyster. I can see a big money fight, him and Ryan Garcia, which probably makes the most sense, as opposed to fighting Haney, who might be a little riskier. You know?
No. But he says he wants to go through Devin Haney first. I like the approach. In other words, he's willing to fight these guys. And listen, if he's got the wherewithal to go out there and call out Devin Haney. He said he was getting on a plane to Las Vegas to take on Devin Haney. I kid you not. The kid wasn't, he wasn't going back to Sydney. He was going to Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like I said, he can call the shots. Also, remember, Javante Davis has a fight coming up. I'm sure that's enough. You know, whatever makes the most dollars makes the most sense. I believe he's promoted by Lou DiBella. DiBella and Heyman have had great relationships in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a fight that happens also. I mean, it's Cambosis' world right now, and we're living in it, and he's the man right now.
Hey, but wait, let's go. There hasn't been a, how can I put this? I haven't heard a fair-skinned guy talk the kind of smack that he talked in a long, long time. I mean, he was bold, he was to the point, he was brash, and guess what? He delivered.
Yeah, you know, he was. He really was. He was confident. He had sparring with Manny Pacquiao. He credits that. You know,
200 and something rounds.
Yeah, he was a chief sparring partner for him. I saw on social media this morning Pacquiao giving him all the praise and credit, you know, happy for him. You know, the guy really had, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see him perform like that again.
Oh, yeah. I think you will. I think this is the beginning of something good. I'm not trying to say maybe he can beat the levels of Ryan Garcia and or Devin Haney, but he will definitely be competitive with them. Now, one last thing before I let you go. Do you have this guy's home phone number, Don Trella, the judge that scored at 114 to 113? I mean, you live in that area. Can you call him up for me and tell him that he either needs cataract surgery or he should never judge again, one or the other?
Yeah, I think his two colleagues saved him. You know, because that was not a cool card. At worst, you could have called it a draw, but there's no way.
No, you couldn't. You see that? No, you're giving him a way out. That's not cool. There was no way that was a draw. Absolutely no way. I mean, no way. Anyway, at the end of the day, we have a new lightweight champion. He's got a bit of an attitude. I think that's good. Of course, the former lightweight champion had an attitude as well, but he wasn't able to transfer that attitude into a successful title offense. So shame on him. Of course, the new champion, George Cambosis. Speaking of new champions, how's Sebastian doing?
He's doing good. He's got a little bit of a cold, but you know, he's all right. He's you know, he's the growing pains, but he's doing great.
How old is he now?
He's actually 10 and a half months.
Congratulations,
he's up
man.
In that year. Yeah.
Of course we're talking about Socrates Palmer's baby boy. I mean, bouncing baby boy. Anyway, man, I wish you all the best. Have a good week. Take care of the family and keep seeing, you know, this was a great night for boxing. It was a great week for boxing. I think so.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you can make the argument the performance of the year was Cambosis.
Fighter of the year, George Cambosis. I'll go with that. Hey, my special compadre on the radio of the year, Socrates Palmer. I'll go with that as well. Bottom line is, Sock, have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, we are coming to you on Veev TV, and the Twitch.tv thing is up and rolling, but who knows if it's going to really, you know, Twitch. You're tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
Check it, 40 minutes past the hour, 41 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number one of two, of course, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and the Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. It's rock and rolling as I speak, but Twitch is lame. It is lame, I kid you not. Anyway, bottom line is we take it from Northern California to Southern California, bringing the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. And, sir, how are you on this lovely morning?
Well, I'm just lovely, enveloped by loveliness all over me.
Oh, you sound like you're in a great... Hey, listen, that was a great night for boxing last night. We have a new lightweight champion. He came out, he did his thing. I didn't think there was any dispute in the decision afterwards, after 12 rounds. And, you know, I'm happy. I think this is why we have the fights, so they can happen.
You're exactly right. From the first round to the last round, it was the theater of the unexpected.
Yeah.
Cambosis, the Australian, raised the image of Australian fighters. Australian fighters were always known for their toughness, but not for their skill levels, their inability to compete on the elite level. And this guy came out after Lopez and just never stopped boxing and banging.
What people didn't realize, unless you were really studying the fight, and I was the little infighting. He was, every time they went inside, he threw a hook, and eight out of ten times, he was scoring, whether it was to the shoulder, to the side of the head, to the body, this and that. Cambosos was throwing punches. He wasn't in awe of anything.
And the numbers showed that he had thrown many more punches than Lopez, who mm-hmm. was elevated to the highest ranks of prize fighters off of his win over the Russian.
Lomachenko.
But one fight does not make a career. And now we'll see if he can come back and come back better.
You know, I think that the air has been let out of that balloon. I was a big blowhard as far as the Teofimo Lopez bandwagon was concerned, but last night I watched, he was taken apart mentally, physically. He was outboxed, he was outpunched. In other words, he did nothing last night. So outside of that 10th round knockdown and maybe a brief rally outside of that.
Well, I think he was stunned and shocked by what happened in the first round.
Okay. What did you think when he went back after, I don't know, I asked Socrates this, but I'll ask you the same question. He went back after one round, he sat down, he got gangster slapped for the entire 3 minutes, and his father told him, "You won that round two." And he said, T-O-O, I mean, like, also. I didn't see him running the round before or that round. Is this another indication why we shouldn't have fathers in the corner, or is this inept?
Well, the father has brought him this far. I'm not going to throw him under the bus because his fighter lost a fight to a very good fighter in a very good fight.
Okay. A classic example probably of why you shouldn't do post-fight interviews after you've lost and you had your brain scrambled. Lopez said he won the fight 11 rounds to 2.
Well, there was an old saying in the sports world that don't ask a jockey who to bet on.
don't laugh about that, Godfather, because I used to work at the right across the street from the Bay Meadows Racetrack, which has been raised in San Mateo, California. That's where I met Joe DiMaggio. Anyway, I used to work across the street, so I would go over to the track and I would cut all the jockey. I was cutting jockeys' hair, so I was cutting their hair, and they were telling me what horses bet on, and I never won on a jockey tip.
There you go.
I mean, never. I mean, I remember I told my mother one time, we're going to bet on our lucky Pete. I'll never forget this. And he breaks his leg and they kill him on the track.
Well, you know, jockeys are optimists. They think they know everything and that their horse is going to win and they're going to win. Yeah. And it's the same thing with prize fighters to a degree. But I don't think Lopez won many fans with his post-fight performance.
Or his scoring. Let's switch gears now. The young man, Kambosos from Australia, very outspoken, brash, no doubt about that, and bold. He said he's going to Las Vegas to take on Devin Haney. He wasn't going home to Australia. This is the kind of attitude. I love that attitude. If he's dead serious about that, fighting Devin Haney and maybe Ryan Garcia could be after that. I mean, there's been a log jam at 135. Guess what? There's all these talented fighters at 135. We need to break the log jam. I think Kambosos has broken the log jam.
Well, we've now had four fights within 2 months. Everyone was terrific, action, competitive, and...
sold out!
So, well, I don't know if they were sold out last night. They were in the small... They call Madison Square Garden Madison Square Garden, even if it's not the big 18,000-seat arena.
But when I was growing up, it was known as a Felt Forum.
Right.
And then they changed it to the theater at Madison Square Garden.
Capacity of a few thousand. But whatever, next time either one of them fights, there'll be a bigger capacity. And I'm just happy that the sport is showing its best sides and... People are coming, and purses are tremendous, and all that good stuff.
Is it accidental, or is it by design?
Well, I know. You know, promoters don't do it by design. They're out to make the biggest bucks they can make. And so are fighters. But I just think that as the pandemic slowed down, and the promoters were not... didn't have much to look at as they hoped for in their bank accounts. They started to take some shots and chances, and I just think it was in the air that there were fights to be made, and good luck to all of them.
You know, Terrence Crawford last week, he was sitting there with Bob Arum. I don't know if we mentioned it, you and I talked about this, but he was sitting with Bob Arum post-fight, and they asked him, do you think he'll be getting the Spence fight? And he said, you know, Bob couldn't get me the Spence fight when I was with him. How can he get me the Spence fight when I'm not with him? Wow. And Bob Arum just sat there real silent, this and that. That, was he willing to eat humble pie just for the bucks, or why shouldn't have Arum, why, you know, would you have reacted that way?
I don't know that it's the smartest thing, but I think that Arum would still do business with him if he could.
But Arum got himself in trouble a year ago when he said on TV, and I got a clip of it, where he said, paying Terrence Crawford, I'm losing money if I'm paying Terrence Crawford $1 million a fight. That's what he said. So he sort of put himself, he sort of aced himself against, put himself in the bad man position against Crawford.
Look, Arum has made a lot of careers. He has been able to market his fighters as good or better than anyone. If he couldn't market Crawford, there had to be some reason. There had to be some reason, whether it was because he didn't have a fan base beyond Omaha, or whatever. Am's not stupid, but look, promoters make business mistakes just like every other businessman.
Well, he did 190,000 pay-per-view homes last week at $70 a pop. That's not too bad.
Nope, not too bad at all.
And considering, because you have to realize, though, for the 190,000 people that bought this on pay-per-view, 4 million people stole this on some form of cable.
Well, look, it's good, and it's better if it's getting out there that boxing serves up the best man-to-man skills.
Without a doubt. Now, it appears the Tyson Fury doesn't know where he's going to go next as far as the next heavyweight title offense is concerned. Larry, do you agree with what Jim Lampley said, that he's just a big fat guy with some skills?
No, he's a freak. He's a big guy. Yeah, he's got some rolling fat around him, but he fought the Klitschko's. He has a boxing sensibility from his being raised in Irish travelers
in a bus
that had boxing at its base.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing out there, and he's been fighting a long time, and the last time I looked, nobody had beaten him.
Okay. It looks like...
He's been fighting the top guys. He's not unwilling to fight anybody.
Okay. As we look forward, Jermell Charlo, the 160-pound Charlo, of course, the WBC champion in middleweight, talking about 168 pounds, talking about going up. Larry, why is it they don't go after the money? I mean, the money's with Canelo. Charlo could make more money with Canelo than he could fighting 8 or 10 times.
Well, that's one of the few things I don't know.
I like that. Hey, so what are you and the Godmama doing this beautiful? I mean, because it's beautiful up here. It's almost like summer. It's just a little chilly.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 70, 74 today.
Oh, lucky Larry.
I'll take my walk. I'll go around. We've had a lot of family from all points of the country that came for Thanksgiving. And we're taking a breath after providing a lot of food and going to others who provided other foods.
You know, I got my booster shot a week and a half ago, and I will say the very next day I had a fever and my arm hurt, and I was in a bit of a grumpy mood. But the bottom line is, the day after that, I felt fine. Did you get your booster yet?
Oh, I've had it for a couple of months.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't fool around.
No. Your daughter's got connections. That's what it is. That's right. Did I hit the nail on the head there?
No, you hit it on the point.
Exactly. Say hello to the Godmama. Say hello to your daughter. And I hope the whole family has a great, great holiday season, sir. I'll talk to you real soon.
You too, Pedro.
The great Larry Merchant, Mr. Hall of Fame. What can I say? Without him, I'd be lost. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. What did you do to me?
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC. The World Boxing Council.
All right! Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby. Baby!
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mighty Horns of the Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Those guys are still rocking and rolling like, yike, a whole lot. It's 1968. That's when they started. 1968. Wow, 50-something years. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, the WBC has their interactive website. We expect the president, Mauricio Sulaiman, to spend some time with us on next Sunday show here. Of course, this is a Sunday edition, only hour number one of two. 1 hour to go here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Yes, it apparently is working. TuneIn.com, Twitcher.com. I keep going. There's like 1,000 different platforms. But the bottom line is, I'm glad you're here. Of course, hour number two, I will bring in Kenny Rainford, our boxing ambassador from the United Kingdom. Of course, sparring partner, fighter, trainer, manager, promoter. Referee last night, he was refereeing in Nottingham, England. So the bottom line is, Kenny's a jack of all trades, no doubt about that. So let's talk with Kenny Boxing A to Z with UK's boxing ambassador. We'll also bring in We'll also have some fun. We'll bring in Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson will spend some time with us in hour number two. Of course, Mike Tyson, of course, he one time married to Robin Givens. Robin Givens, of course, the wife of Mike Tyson, she sent me a letter, or her lawyer sent me a letter back in the 90s, and it said that I had to cease and desist from calling her Robin Givens in print. That was her name, Robin, R-O-B-I-N. But I called it, I named her Robin, R-O-B-I-N-N apostrophe. Okay, Robin. Like she was robbing without the G, okay? Bottom line is, they got a little upset. They saw through it, and they sent me a cease and desist letter. Some lawyer in Chicago, I'll never forget what the guy's name was. Bottom line is, they sent me this letter. I thought it was laughable, but that was my last clash with Miss Givens. I never saw her again. I don't even know what she's doing these days. Is she still alive? Maybe I should run a Google check on Robin Givens between breaks. Bottom line is, hour number two, Kenny Rainford will be here. We'll do some Mike Tyson. We'll have some fun. We'll also go down the world, go down the road into the world of the UFC just for a second. Straight up, boxing A to Z, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, up after the news here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, we're also live on WBC TV. This is your preeminent show on VTV, baby.